Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan. I have Mikey and John joining me to preview this week's matchup against Iowa. 3-2 Iowa coming in here off a loss to Michigan. Illinois coming in off a couple wins, 4-1 so far. Big matchup this weekend in Champaign. I know, you know, it should be a good crowd on hand. Everyone's super excited. Maybe the biggest game we've had in Champaign in, I don't know, 10 or 15 years. I don't know if you guys have a game in mind that you could go back to and say biggest game since that game, but it's going to be a big one.
Yeah, no, I cannot think of a game that, you know, this game means so much more to our program than it does an Iowa program, you know, just to get this win. You've seen the push on social media this week for anybody who follows any type of Illini sports. They got everyone involved trying to sell this game out, trying to pack the stands as much as they can.
Mikey, sell this game right now. Why should you be at the game on Saturday?
Wow. You know, you love putting me on the spot, Dan. I mean, if you're an Illini fan, I know there's been some struggles in the past. And, you know, if I was a fan like that, I probably would not want to go support this team and spend money to go watch them play. But this is a new team. It's a new coach in his second year. For all the time that there's been negativity around the program, this is the one time in the last 15 plus years I could think of where, you know, the excitement is there. And this is what the program is about. It needs that fan base to really bring it to the next level. So there's my sale. I'm not in sales, so it probably wasn't good, but if you could be there, I know it's a quick 2-hour trip from all these Chicago alumni. If you could get down there to support them, just know as a former player, it does mean a lot.
So I mean, I feel like this is like, I know this game is massive, but I feel like it's our biggest game since like last week because like
every game. And, yeah,
exactly. And even like, and if we win this week, then I think that we could look back at when we're previewing Minnesota and be like, this is our biggest game since like, if you just keep going out and taking care of business and the onus just keeps ramping up, right? It's awesome because we haven't really ever had that in a season in recent vintage. But yeah, I'm like thinking that the Wisconsin win was like the potential program definer. And now it's like, well, yeah, if you take it out, not out of context, but if you look at it through the lens of being 4-1, it's like, yeah, I mean, personally, I thought we would be here at this point in terms of like going 4-0 in our first four and then losing to Wisconsin. This is going to be like a big matchup. But now you're here in a different way. So then it still is like that big of a game that we all thought preseason. So it's interesting, but I am so hyped. I cannot wait for Saturday.
Yeah, the stakes just seem to keep increasing. And we wouldn't have it any other way.
Not to cut you off here, but is the reason why you guys think we're the excitement and we feel like it's such a big game for the program is because we completely demolished Wisconsin last week? Or if it was a close game and, you know, we won on a field goal or won by 1 point, do you think we would be talking about how much of a high stakes game this is? Because we saw what the program could become. Do you think that's why the excitement is so high?
I look at the season so far in totality and say this defense has been so good for, you know, over the course of 5 games. It wasn't one or two fluky games or performances. Everything has seemed to be dominant fashion and, you know, capped by last week against Wisconsin where you blow them out of the water at a place we haven't won in 20 years. So to me, seeing the repetition of wins and, you know, big wins, I think it's, you know, taking a step back and looking at the bigger picture. That's what gets me excited. And I don't think it was one or two fluky wins that got us here.
I'm going to draw the analogy to, let's say that like you were a bad student and, you know, you had like this failing grade in the class. And then all of a sudden the teacher is just like, hey, we'll not only drop like the lowest 70% of your grades, but then the like next project is, you know, worth 2 times as much. And then the final could just completely erase it. And then you start cramming. And so it kind of feels like now it's like, we were in such like a bad place the past 5-10 years. And now all of a sudden we've been gifted like, oh yeah, now it's just like the West isn't going to be there much longer. Like it's time to cram because, you know, we're going to be having conference realignment soon. It's like, we felt like we might've had this missed opportunity. And now it's kind of all coalescing this year where it could potentially be something that, you know, gets you, you know, in the door, and if, and then you're able to recruit better, and then boom, all of a sudden, like, yeah, conference realignment's there, but you're in a great spot. So I feel like this is just like, because you handled Wisconsin so well, that's kind of like, okay, we did well in the project. So now we're like, we've got all this confidence, and then it's like, let's just ace the final. And then we've crammed well enough to just like pass the class and get like an A.
It's quite the analogy there, but I totally get where you're coming from. And I understand.
I mean, that. do you guys
get it? Yeah,
like,
I get it. I do.
We had like just terrible coaching. We couldn't win Big Ten games. Like that was the thing. Like we would have to like circle Rutgers, maybe Indiana, maybe try and get like a game against Northwestern. And now it's just like, oh yeah, we just beat Wisconsin, who has been dominating the Big Ten West for years, for like two decades practically. And now we're a favorite against Iowa. Like that shouldn't be happening.
Yeah. We live in a world where we are favorites against Iowa. And coming off a win, a 24-point victory at Wisconsin. Like, yeah, everything's been turned upside down this season, and now I think everyone can see the opportunity that's at hand and starts thinking, you know, maybe we do run the table to some degree, or we're, you know, have a chance to compete and maybe win a Big Ten West, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in a Big Ten championship game. You never know what could happen. So it's just such a interesting place to be, considering that we were expected to win what was the Vegas line, 4.5 games this year, and we've almost hit the over, and we're in the middle of October here with plenty of games to play. So you throw everything out the window that you thought from the beginning of the season, with the exception of Mikey Dudek, who said Illinois would be a 12-0 team.
It's about time they started listening to me, you know.
And all of a sudden you have this opportunity against Iowa, and who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, it really is going to be a good game. And, you know, Iowa is very comparable to Wisconsin in terms of how their style of football, you know, dominant run game, historically great defense. So, you know, if history can repeat itself, hopefully we go out and do the exact same thing on Saturday. But I think it'll be one in the trenches. I said the same thing against Wisconsin. If our O-line and D-line are able to play the way they did last week, then I think, you know, we'll be celebrating victory on Sunday, you know, and then get ready for the next game. So it's going to come down to, in my opinion, what happens in the trenches.
I just want everyone listening to close their eyes unless they're driving and just think about this game and picture it like last year. You have a good defense with a middling offense that can't do anything besides run like inside and outside zone run plays. They don't do anything creative. They got a good defense. They're going up against a team that has an unreal defense and an offense that can run the ball down your throat and be an efficient passing game. It feels kind of like what I'm describing is the Wisconsin versus Illinois game last year, where it was just like they came out, they established the run game at will early and often. They came out, they made the passing plays that needed to be made, and we couldn't do anything because our run game wasn't creative enough. We had no options in the passing game. And so I'm not saying it's going to be exactly the same, but it kind of has the same feel when I think about it. It's like, yeah, Iowa might have a better defense than Wisconsin, but their offense is most definitely worse. So I don't really know how, like, how all the points are going to be scored by them.
Yeah, to me, like, looking at Iowa's team, on the offensive side of the ball, they're super young. Their O-line's young. They have a freshman running back, you know, a couple young wide receivers. I think they only have a few seniors, and that's Spencer Petras at quarterback. They have Sam Laporta, who's their stud tight end, and then Nico Reganey as a wide receiver. I think those are the only three seniors out there, and everyone else is an underclassman. So on the offensive side of the ball, they're young, and as we've seen, you know, we know as Illinois fans, when you play with a young O-line, you know, you tend to make mistakes and you tend to get beat around quite a bit. Now, on the other side of the ball, Iowa has this very good defense and a very experienced defense. They have Jack Campbell, who everyone knows is their stud linebacker, but their defensive front, you know, features a lot of good players. And like you said, Mikey, it's going to be a battle in the trenches this week, and that's where the game's going to be won. So I'm curious, because on the offensive side of the ball for Iowa, I think they're definitely losing that battle in the trenches, but on the defensive side, they're going to pose quite the challenge for the Illinois O-line this week.
Yeah, it'll be a good test, you know, but I, you know, if we were going into the season, I would not be as confident as I am now. But just the way that our O-line has come out and played, and same with our D-line, you know, in Big Ten play or last week and against Virginia, you know, against, you know, Power Five schools, I'm fully confident going into Saturday that, you know, we can hold our own and, you know, allow the specialists on the outside to make plays.
Yeah, I think for the offense, it kind of comes down to just like, one, don't turn the ball over. Whatever you do, do not turn the freaking ball over, because these guys have like more points off turnovers and just like the actual play of the turnover itself than their offense does, it seems. So just one, don't turn the ball over. Two, just like sustain enough drives that then you can, like, we had the Isaiah Williams trick play that didn't actually count with the pass for a touchdown to Tip Ryman. Like, just make sure that you take the opportunity that's given to them when you do run whatever like little wrinkle that they have schemed up, and then capitalize, score, hopefully, and then just let the defense do their job. Like, don't try and press too hard.
The only way I really see this team losing, like you said, is if they turn the ball over. Like, Iowa's exactly. So good at taking the ball away, but I think Illinois has the Jimmies and Joes to win this game. For the first time in a long time, I think we are the more talented team here, and as long as you don't beat yourself, which we know Brett Bielema loves to emphasize, don't beat yourself is, you know, the golden rule, then we should be very competitive, and I think we should be in good position to win this game. I did want to mention, here's a little Danny's deep dive for you, since I mentioned the Jimmies and the Joes. I was looking at the Iowa roster, right? I'll let you guys guess at this, actually. How many players do you think they have from the following states combined? Florida, Texas, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee. Those seven states, they have 125 players listed on the roster.
Damn.
How many players do you think are from one of those seven states?
I'll go first. I'm going to guess, and I'll be completely honest with you, I'm probably way off. I'm going to say 7.
Okay. John?
I'm going 35.
They have 3 players out of 125 that are from the hotbed of college football.
Holy crap.
Florida, Alabama, Texas, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Tennessee. They have 3 players out of 125. Now, Illinois, do you want to guess Illinois for fun? Those same 7 states, how many players we have?
Yeah, I'm going to go 40.
I'll go 35.
Both very good guesses. 38 players out of 117. Ooh. For Illinois. So 32% of our roster, basically a third of our roster, is from one of those 7, you know, hotbeds of football, and 2% of their roster is from there. So when we want to talk Jimmies and Joes, you guys know Texas high school football, you know Florida high school football, Georgia. They got some great talent down there, and Iowa seems to not recruit that area. So I think roster advantage, just strictly off, I don't know, stereotypes that the South is good at football, we're in good position, in my opinion.
Yeah. I don't know about that. if I'm being completely honest, Iowa's been doing the same thing for 20 years and had a lot more success than we have. And yet they probably recruit 90% of their players from the Midwest. But
isn't that crazy, though?
Yeah,
three out of 125.
I would not have expected that. But, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it, you know. And they've sustained a program for this long. So, you know, hopefully we can get to the Iowa level of football in years to come. You know, and if it takes recruiting the Midwest more, then, you know, I think we should do it. But I do have a question, and this might throw you guys off guard, but what is your, outside of the offensive line or outside of the trenches, what position group do you think has the most pressure or needs to perform the best for us this weekend?
I'm going to say something that you probably aren't expecting. I'm going to say the special teams. Okay. I think kicker and punter are going to be highly used in this game on both sidelines. And to me, that might be the difference in the game. Now, Illinois has had some trouble so far this year, especially punting the ball, but, you know, kicking hasn't been sunshine and rainbows either. So both kicker and punter are going to be utilized quite a bit this week. And we'll see if that's Caleb Griffin or, you know, Will McManus or whoever it may be. But I think that could be the difference.
I love that pick, by the way, because that's...
Me too. I really like that.
That's probably the answer. I'm going to go with linebackers just because, like, I feel like...
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's just like anyone on offense, just don't turn the ball over. That's pretty much it. But on defense, like, I'm confident in the D-line. I'm confident enough in the defensive backs. I mean, I think we would look at it and be like, oh, yeah, Taz and Kendall Smith are probably the weak links. And Taz has been playing better, and Kendall Smith is just addicted to getting interceptions, apparently. So maybe he's just going to get another one of those. But I think the linebackers, especially because of the fact that, like, Iowa still uses a fullback in, like, two tight end sets. Like, they're just going to try and they're not going to disguise anything. Well, they'll maybe give you a couple wrinkles, but they're not going to do anything cute. They're just going to try and run it down your throat, and you're going to need your linebackers to fill well and get the run fits off. And it's pretty much just as simple as having a bad attitude when you get in the hole with a running back. And I mean, Isaac Gardner-Angelo has been playing amazing. Tariq Barnes has been very consistent. I think, oh yeah, I meant to say this on the reaction pod. I think I'm going to start buying some CJ Hart stock because I think it's not necessarily so low, but it's probably as low as I think it's going to get because he obviously flashed real well in the Nebraska game and then he got hurt. And I think he's still, like, obviously working back from that. And next year, like, you know, I know that D'Angelo obviously has to move on. So then he'll hopefully be able to slot in and just take, like, you know, 90, 95% of the snaps and be back to what we thought he could be. But maybe he'll step up and have a good game. I don't know. It's just I'm looking for those linebackers to stay as consistent as they've been this year.
Mikey, who's your position group that you think is going to be the key to this? I know you said the trenches is what you're going to be looking for this week, but are you looking at the Illinois O-line or are you looking more at the Illinois D-line?
I'm looking more at the Illinois D-line.
Okay.
Because I think, you know, they're our dominant position group and they need to show up and perform. But outside of the O-line, John, I would have to agree with you on the line, but that was my initial thought. But then when I heard Dan say the specialist, I want to agree with Dan.
We just got such a good read on this program. Wow. Look at us.
No, well, the special teams to me makes so much sense. And, Iowa usually has great special teams. And Dan, as you mentioned, ours have been a little underperforming this year, but that could be, you know, we have such high standards for specialists with considering our last two kickers in the NFL.
We were spoiled.
Yeah, we were very, very spoiled. But I think, you know, special teams will play a huge role in this game. Just field position, being able to make kicks, just doing the little things right. I think, you know, if our guys come out and we have 9-yard punts, like it seems like every other one is, I don't think it'll end well for us.
All right. With that, do we want to get into our, you know, player picks of the week?
Before we do that, I'm not going to lie, guys. Like, I'm currently watching, I've got the Iowa Michigan game on just in the background while we're doing this, and I'm rewatching. So Iowa down 13 points. Like, they need a touchdown. There's 5 minutes, a little over 5 minutes left in the game. They have 4th and 2 inside their own 10. And Spencer Petras throwing a flat route, only 1 yard, where the guy has to fall on the ground is so hilarious to me because he just didn't even give him much. And he, like, I don't know, A, I don't know why they're rolling him left, but then B, he looks like Peyton Manning when he was like 40 something years old. Like, he couldn't like run anymore. He just kind of like lumbered and he did, like, I don't get how Spencer Petras, I know he's like been here a while, but like he's
John,
like, such, like,
an old man walk. John, let's cut the Petras slander right now. You know what happens.
I mean, I did say last week that you got to make Graham Mertz beat you. And
you
then
did. You
he
did.
Went on
you
to.
Did.
So it's essentially the same game plan. You let the dude who can't roll left and throw 1 yard, you let him try to beat you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's got negative 84 rush yards on the year. So he's not quite the threat on the ground either. I don't even know that you have to spy a guy like that.
you can kind of let him roam.
But Mikey, if Spencer Petras is listening to this podcast, We'll eat that up because that means he's not in the film room right now.
That's true. That means he's mid. But picks of the week, I'm going to go on the defensive side of the ball.
All right.
A little SB30, Sidney Brown, Sid the Kid, the twin brother of All-American Chase Brown.
Ooh.
I'm going Sidney Brown is a firework out there, like running around like Troy Polamalu. I think he's going to make a big play for us that'll cause a turnover, whether it's a strip sack or a, you know, punch out, peanut punch. I think he's going to come up big for us all game long, but I think he's going to have one defining moment in the game that, you know, works out in our favor and ultimately helps us win.
I like you describing him as a firework. I don't think I've heard a player described as a firework before, but that's the perfect, that's the perfect guy.
Yeah. That just came to me. He just is.
All right.
Sid Danny, you should go next. Because I feel like I'm always second, and I feel like you should go because you're always just basically like, oh, you guys both picked defenders.
All right. I because I said special teams, I am going to go with Caleb Griffin. I don't know if there's going to be a game-winning field goal opportunity or if he's just going to make a couple, but I feel like Caleb Griffin's going to be utilized quite a bit, and I think he's going to come through. He's a senior. He's been around the program. Big Illinois kid. He wants to impress for the big crowd that should be on hand for this big night game. So I'm going Caleb Griffin, and then my specific stat of the week is going to be also a special teams stat. And that's going to be Talon Letzy downing at least one punt inside the 2 yard line. That's my specific prediction.
That's a lot. That's a lot of trust in Hugh right there.
You like that?
I like it.
Getting crazy. All right, John, who you got?
All right. So I think like there's a lot of good options out there, but I'm just going to go. I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to keep it standard. I'm just going Tommy DeVito. Like I think there's a lot of different picks, but he just needs. And it's not even anything. Like, I don't really have any crazy specific stats. All that he just needs to be impressed upon him is just don't turn the ball over. And they're going to stack the box. They're not going to really try and let Chase Brown beat him. Like, hopefully they do what they did against Wisconsin, where he eventually gets loose in the second half. But you're going to need some big throws from Tommy like he made last week. But you can't, like, get lulled into it and then have – I just have that image burned in my head of Brandon Peters throwing that pick, like, early in the Iowa game, just, like, right to the guy because he was sitting underneath and – in like the flat, and then he just read his eyes and picked him off just so easily, and that's just demoralizing to start the game. And you just can't have those kind of moments. Like, yeah, maybe he won't. I mean, he hasn't been, besides the UT Chattanooga game where he went for 300, he hasn't had like gaudy stats, but he's been what you need in terms of like a serviceable game managing quarterback. And so he just needs to continue to do that. And just don't turn the ball over, Tommy. Just don't turn the freaking ball over. And then we're fine.
I like that pick. I will say, if I were to throw one other pick out there, I already used mine on Caleb Griffin, but I think Isaiah Williams is going to have his biggest game of the year. We need him to be explosive. We need him to make plays. And you know how Pat Bryant kind of went off in that Chattanooga game? I see something similar from Isaiah this week. I think he's got a favorable matchup, and I think we'll see little Uno get loose.
I also had Taz and Keith on my ballot, but I feel like you gotta go with who the most impactful guy is.
Yeah, Caleb Griffin, my most impactful guy of the week. All right,
if he can hit a couple long field goals, you're right.
We'll see. All right, game predictions. Mikey, you go first.
I'll keep it nice, short, and sweet. All right, I'm gonna go 17-13, Illini.
Oh, so you see this game being kind of close.
I do, yeah.
Is this a come from behind 17-13 win, or is this kind of control the game and, you know, or is it a seesaw battle?
I do think it's going to be a game where we are trailing at some point and we'll have to make up, you know, and take the lead again. But it's not one where I think, you know, Iowa's going to be winning the entire time. I just think it'll be one where they get an early field goal and then, you know, we eventually score a touchdown and, you know, lead the rest of the way.
Got it. All right, John, you go first.
I'm gonna keep the streak intact. I'm going to go U of I 20, other U of I 12. So I think that they just, like I said, I literally just watched Spencer Petras try and throw a 2 yard route and he threw it at the ground for 1 yard inside the 10. I just don't have the confidence that, like, yeah, they'll probably get in the red zone a couple times, but the way that this defense is playing, just hold them to three and like I said, take advantage of like the one opportunity that presents itself where Bielema and Lunny decide, hey, we're going to dial whatever trick play they have called this week or whatever wrinkle, and then just score, maybe score again with good field position on a turnover, get a couple field goals from your guy, Caleb Griffin, Danny, and then just win the game. It's not that hard, right?
Yep. Take care of business. Vegas has us favored by 3.5. So, all right, my pick, trying to do some Danny math here. Night game, right? Nerves will be up, yep. Both sides. It's a big game. Crowd will be big. So I think it's going to be pretty low scoring. I think the Illinois D has proven enough to me. Last week I took Wisconsin. I thought Wisconsin would take control of that game, and they never really did. So I think Illinois has proven enough to me that I'm gonna ride with Illinois this week. I'm going to go 16-3, Illinois. Mm. I think the defense is able to hold that Iowa offense that we said was so inexperienced to only 3 points. Maybe they get a couple field goal opportunities, but I don't know that they'll make all of them. And then I think Illinois, I'm going to say it's a touchdown and 3 field goals is how we get to the 16 rather than, you know, a couple touchdowns or a safety or anything. So Illinois 16, Iowa 3. So that's 3 Illinois predictions for a win this week. We're all riding.
Yeah, well, I hope we're right, boys.
I can't wait. I hope that
can't wait.
Like even this, but the stadium even being like somewhat packed is going to be sweet.
Yeah.
Like the thing that kind of not stinks, but like there was a sick hype video that they released tonight, and like it kind of stinks like when you're watching some like the B footage or whatever, and you see like this the empty like horseshoe or just like
right.
the kind of scattered stands. And you're like, that kind of sucks. And it's still a great video, but like. I hope then they just like take all the footage from this and just make all the sweet videos from it. But it's just going to be so cool to see that many people there. Even if it's not a complete sellout, it's still going to be awesome.
You know, they're unleashing all the photographers, videographers, and the whole creative team for a game like this when the crowd is as full as we've probably had it in several years. Maybe since UNC's the time. They always like to go back and take the images from that North Carolina game.
The drone shots.
Yeah, so yep. it's time to reestablish some new images with this crowd. And like we said, if we find a way to win this, the crowd just continues to grow each week and the stakes continue to increase. So I couldn't be more excited. Probably the biggest game we've had, like you said, John, since last week. But if we want to go back, it's been, I don't know, maybe a decade since – to me, there's been this much excitement and buzz around the program. So I'm hyped. I'm ready to go. And we'll see how it plays out on Saturday night. 6:30, Big Ten Network, Illinois, Iowa. Let's get it going. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Field Pass. We appreciate you following along. You can check us out, as always, on social media. We are at The Field Pass. Thank you, and go Illini.